Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown, and it's brilliant to have you with us. Thanks for joining us once again, and for taking the time to download and listen to this podcast. I really do appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend it with me and our guests here on the podcast. And today I get to share another incredible story. If I have to be brutally honest, I love these stories, and it's probably my favorite part of the Kona Edge, of all the segments we do, is the sort of digging into someone's background and finding out a little bit more about them. And today we head to the north coast of New South Wales in Australia to touch base with Wes Thompson to find out where it all began for him with regards to his triathlon journey. Before we get into that story, though, as always, just a quick heads up that the show is very reliant on the support of you, our loyal listeners. And if you, over time, have got any value out of these podcasts, if you thoroughly enjoy them, I would appreciate it hugely if you would consider becoming a patron of the Kona Edge. Every single month, we sweeten the pot. And this month, once again, we're giving away an entry into a half Ironman event. You get to choose which you want to race. We give you $350 to pay for the entry. So if you would like to become a patron of the Kona Edge for as little as a dollar a month, so you know that works out to 5 cents per podcast that we produce. It's literally next to nothing. Buy us a cup of coffee once a month, and you can help support things and keep the lights on here at the Kona Edge. So if you'd like to do that, I would appreciate it. The website to get to is thekonaedge.com/support. That's where you can get all the details. That's thekonaedge.com/support. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Doug Guthrie Personal Training. Doug has a passion for seeing people improve and succeed. A 14 times Ironman finisher, two of those on the Big Island, a USA T Level 1 certified coach, head coach of the YMCA Tri Team, Doug has the unique ability to meet athletes wherever they are in their journey. His motivation comes from helping athletes improve and meet their goals at any skill level. As a self-coach, two times Kona qualifier and finisher, Doug's experience places him in the shoes of those training for their first sprint, to those who need to know what has to be adjusted in their plan to get them to the next level in order to qualify for the World Championships. Discover more about Doug, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching, and don't forget, if you're a coach or if you have a coaching business and would like to get a plug on the podcast, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. Well, we head to New South Wales now in Australia to catch up with Wes Thompson. Wes, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm flattered you asked me on, Brad. Thank you very much.
Wes, you're an avid listener of the podcast. I love reaching out to athletes who've raced on the Big Island and getting an email back saying we love the podcast. So, yeah, thanks for listening. I don't get an opportunity often to thank people for listening, but thank you, because I know you do listen to it often.
Every week. Wouldn't miss an episode, Brad.
Fantastic. Wes, let's talk about your background. You're a very decent triathlete. Where did your love for triathlon come from?
a curiosity more than anything. The sports I was involved with at the time just weren't doing it for me, and I wanted to try something different. And I had friends in the local triathlon club who gave it a crack, and I just went along to a local sprint or a club distance race, and the curiosity got the better of me, and and really enjoyed it. So it's just flowed from there.
Tell me a little bit about your sporting background. I mean, Australia, much like South Africa, is a very sporting nation. I mean, everyone seems to be pretty athletic, and at some stage in their life took part in some sort of sport. What was your sport of choice growing up, and what were you into?
Surfing, Brad.
Oh, cool.
Surfing, So I grew up, as long as I can remember, we've been at the beach. We'd spend all day at the beach, all weekend at the beach, and I grew up surfing with my older brothers. I got three older brothers, and I would just be at the beach all day surfing. Whilst the other kids were at the ocean pool in the corner of the beach learning to swim, I was out surfing with my brothers, basically.
Is that where your competitive nature came from as well, being the youngest of four brothers? I mean, if you weren't competitive, you probably wouldn't have eaten.
You're right. I was a bit of a punching bag for my brothers, and You grew up fast, that's for sure. Fending for yourself was good.
And from a competitive level perspective, surfing, I mean, were you any good? Are you any good?
funny question. No, I'd have surfed competitively, but just bits and pieces. Nothing like, just some local club contests, that sort of stuff. I just, I still surf, just not as much as I used to because this whole triathlon thing gets in the way. but, you know, I've always surfed. I always will surf. But sometimes, you know, I've said it before, say it to people that ask me, and sometimes surfing can be a little bit Groundhog Day. You know, I was always the first guy in the water. I'd always be up early, pre-dawn, checking the surf. And quite often there isn't surf, or the surf is no good, or there's no swell, or it's cold, or it's windy, or it's crowded, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you head home after going down the beach without that stoke. You know, you don't go home satisfied. And that's where sort of triathlons, it's taken over. With every, not so much triathlon racing, but with the training, after every session, there's that endorphin that, is hard to beat. Surfing is good. There's always a rush. There's not always a rush. I must correct myself there. There's not always a rush. And that's kind of where the triathlon training sort of has sort of elbowed its way in, so to speak.
I mean, people look at surfing and think it's not really that physically demanding, but I've got a 43-year-old brother who literally has, in the last 2 months, taken up surfing, and he said to me, I cannot believe how hard it is. I mean, physically, it's pretty challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. You know, when I first started training and racing, it was probably 7.5, 8 years ago, my wife would comment how I could just go out the door and train and not get injured and no niggles, nothing like that. And I put it all down to surfing, with just that core strength that surfers have, that probably very few other just athletes would have just day to day. But now I'm not surfing quite as much. I've got to keep that core strong in other ways. So yeah, surfing's very physical.
And that
surfers are very fit people without sort of really knowing.
Yeah, absolutely. And core strength in triathlon is often neglected, and it is so vital. I mean, because you're training for three separate disciplines, people think that's where you need to focus your time. But you do need to find some time for that strength and conditioning, don't you find?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's a saying going around that you get away with it until you don't, and I've sort of found that out, and people are realizing that, and strength training's probably just as important as the other three disciplines, the fourth. And, there's probably five disciplines with the three sports, nutrition and core strength. So, yeah.
And sadly, the older you get, the more important it becomes.
100%, Brad. Yep, that's it.
I'm finding that out firsthand. Wiz, as far as team sports go, I mean, Australia is very much, I mean, you look at some of the big sporting codes. Before we started recording, we were speaking about rugby union. You said you watch some rugby league, cricket's big. Have you always been sort of individual sport focused, surfing, or did you play some team sports growing up as well?
I would probably say no to that. You know, go through high school and junior school as a, the odd game of soccer or football and the odd cricket game. But I've always been an individual. I've always surfed, and I was all through high school, I was big on skateboarding. So, you know, I was used to live to skate as well. And growing up on some acreage, my parents' farm or the family farm, we had motorbikes. So there was, we did go quite a few years serious motocrossing and enduro racing. So, I haven't followed the traditional mold of team sports and that sort of thing, running, school running, that sort of thing, not at all. You know, more of a action sportsman, I suppose. So, I've since giving away the dirt bikes. I haven't broken any bones, so triathlon's been good in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you're a bit of an adrenaline junkie. Was that one of the things that attracted you to triathlon, that it was an individual sport, even though you can train in squads and that sort of thing? At the end of the day, on race day, it's up to you and what you do.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not a big group trainer. I don't do, you know, I love cycling. I love my bikes. I love cycling. I love getting out and just going wherever I want to go. I don't ride in groups. I don't train in groups. I don't run in groups. You know, we do the odd pool session in you know, the masters and whatnot. But I just love getting on the bike, not waiting for anyone, not having to be waited for. You know, I just go wherever I want to go, and that's the way I like it. So yeah, I wouldn't change that.
Let's talk about sort of work-life balance and triathlon. You married, you've got a family, you've got two girls mm-hmm. as well. How do you get that balance mm-hmm. right? What do you do for a living, and how do you keep that juggling act sort of in place? Because training for an Ironman is not easy.
Yeah, no, it's just lots of, 4:30 alarm, probably 6 days a week. Just get up, get it done early, be back in time to head to work. I run a small business with my brother, family business, and that's very hands-on. I don't let my training or racing affect the running of the business in any way. You know, we have the odd week off here or there to head away for race week, but, you know, I'm at work every day on time, and you know, we're out the door no earlier than 5 and it's off to the next session. So, yeah, the training doesn't interfere with the work at all. So I make sure of that.
Do you find that having that sort of structure in your life of up at 4:30 and doing the sessions you need to do before work helps you in your sort of work life as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's just they're two separate identities. I think, you know, running a small business, it's very hands-on, you know. I pride myself on my I'm never late. I'm always I pride myself on being on time. If I've ever got an appointment or whatever, I'm always so hard on myself if I'm running late or I'm letting someone down. So I always like to be very prompt and on time, and structure's not a problem, motivation's not a problem. You just get it done.
I'm glad I was on time for this interview.
Yeah, there's one thing was for sure, I wasn't going to be late for it, so yeah.
Fantastic. Let's talk about sort of the sport itself and sort of starting out doing sprints and Olympic distance and then making the step up to the longer ones. What was your progression? I mean, your first introduction, tell me about that first race and then the thinking of going longer.
Yeah, well, there's the local Ballina Triathlon Club here in the north coast of New South Wales. I did my first, I'm pretty sure it was a sprint or a club distance race. And it was pretty humbling. You know, I went in with no idea of what to expect. I knew it was going to be difficult, but, you know, I was just getting smoked. I bought myself a cheap road bike. I kind of could swim because I've always surfed and I've never really ran. You know, like I never really ran. I broke my ankle years ago playing touch football. There you go, team sport. But and I always used that as an excuse why I couldn't run. But after getting smoked on that first race, it's like, right, okay, this isn't good. I need to address this and come back and do the next race and do better. So it stemmed from that. You know, obviously the progression is to, you know, there's some Olympic distance races that are 45 minutes away and you sort of, you know, you enter them, have a crack and see what you're capable of. And it just stems from there, just trying to, you know, see what you can actually do. It's very enjoyable and fun to see how far you could actually push yourself. And you know, it wasn't, you know, that, you know, we done the then you start thinking of traveling further afield with Noosa Triathlon and Mooloolaba Triathlon. There, you know, they're 3 and 4 hours away by car, and you got friends going up to race. So it's like, right, let's be a part of that and have some fun. And then, yeah, it wasn't long before the, you know, you're sort of mixing in triathlon circles and people are talking about 70.3 and Ironman, and you just want to know more. The curiosity gets the better of you, and before long you know what Kona is, you know all about it, and yeah, you want to, your curiosity really gets the better of you. So and it did.
Yeah, before you know it, you're sucked in good and proper. That's just the way it works.
Pretty much. pretty much. I'm a bit of a I'm a tinkerer. You know, I love my bikes. I love when I have my dirt bikes. I'd always be tinkering the dirt bikes. I'm fairly mechanically minded, and I love getting out in the garage and working on bikes and trying to optimize them. And so there's an element of man and machine too with the bike and what you can get out of yourself and your machinery. And that's another factor I enjoy about triathlon.
It's funny you say that.
Just going out and having a run.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you that. Did you approach your training that sort of way? Were you very deliberate about it? Were you tinkering? And that was, funnily enough, the word I was going to use. How did you, after that first one where you said you got smoked and you went back and thought, you know what, I've got to get better at this. How did you approach that from a training perspective? Did you go and get help? Did you read up? Did you go online? How did you approach it?
No, I didn't go out and actively look for help. I absorb a lot of information. You know, you're on the websites. You're taking it in. Your curiosity gets the better of you. You'll surf the web, and you're just a bit of a sponge, you know, to take in bits and pieces from here and there. And you quickly get an idea of what's involved with going a bit quicker. In those early days, I didn't really I clearly wasn't coached, or I didn't use training programs, and you just knew to as a novice. To get a bit quicker, you just had to do a bit more practice and train the disciplines a little bit more. And you know, if you've got some good genetics there and a attitude to have a bit of a crack, you're gonna improve pretty quickly. Yeah.
Going back now, knowing what you know now, if you had to go back, would you change the way you did things? Would you have got help sooner? Would you have done things exactly the same?
I wouldn't change anything. No, I hear you ask that question quite a lot, and I ask myself that, and it's like, no, not really. I wouldn't change anything. If I got into the sport sooner or whatever, who knows? I might have ended up, I don't know, a little bit more worn out or fatigued. But right now, the age group I am, I'm 45 to 49 now, and had I started it any sooner or whatever, I might be a little more busted up, but. No, I'm still really enjoying it, and that's still seeking to improve. Yeah.
I'm guessing that the Kona Edge is not the only podcast you listen to. If you're anything like me, you probably listen to a ton of different podcasts. I think at the moment I have 10 or 15 go-tos that I listen to every single week. And if you listen to a lot of podcasts, at some stage you've probably thought about starting your own. Well, the good news is it's easier than you think. ThePodcastingAcademy.com is giving you the opportunity to get your own podcast started right now. The Podcasting Academy is a 21-day, step-by-step online program that will get you from zero to podcast in just 3 weeks. Right now, thepodcastingacademy.com is offering listeners of the Kona Edge a 25% discount. All you need to do is use the word Kona at checkout to qualify. Head over to thepodcastingacademy.com to find out more. I find it interesting that you say no, because I also have that same sort of feeling that you almost need to pay school fees. And school fees, especially when you're starting out, is good base training. And you might not be doing everything right, but you need to get those miles. There's no shortcut around that. A coach can't tell you how to train. You need to go out and train. And sometimes people try and get too analytical when they start out and really dial in too soon. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you need to sort of find your own way a little bit. I think to dive into, if you're a complete novice and you've got no idea whatsoever, that's a coach would be a great idea, just to, or a club or an athlete that could mentor. But you know, I would take information and bits and pieces from here and there, and I started mixing in triathlon circles, and you quickly get an idea of what needs to be done, and I think on the other hand, if you get a coach too soon, that could really suck the fun out of it quickly. You know, if you suddenly, you know, there's a coach on your back to get you to the pool early or whatever, that could really take the fun out of it. So, no, I wouldn't change the way I've progressed.
I think fun is probably the operative word, and it's important. It's probably the same with surfing, that as soon as it starts feeling like a chore, you don't want to do it. The last thing you want is a sport like triathlon to be feeling like a chore. You need to be having fun and enjoying it.
Yeah.
How big a factor does that play even today? I mean, you're pretty competitive, and you obviously have gotten a lot better over the years, but how important is getting out there and making sure you have fun in sort of every session?
Yeah, I think that's everything. That's why I stopped racing dirt bikes. There was a day there where I just said to myself, are you having fun? And I honestly said to myself, I'm not having fun anymore. And I sold my bike. I've still got my gear. I sold my bike and I have not missed it. And that was 8 years ago. And I haven't missed the thing, you know. And surfing, I still surf, you know, not as often. I still find the training, Ironman training in particular, fun. And I'll do it until it isn't.
I think we all have stories like that. I used to play a lot of golf, and I remember walking off a golf course after nine holes, and I was like, I'm hating this, and I've never been back. I used to play a lot of golf, which is quite interesting. Let's talk about your decision to do it, your first Ironman. I mean, that jump up is very mental as opposed to physical. Mm. But tell me about your first one.
Yep. My first Ironman was 2013, Ironman Australia at Port Macquarie. I had a good mate of mine, Matt. He still races it annually. I've got friends that go down and race it annually, and I'd done a couple of halves up until then, you know, quite a few Olympics. I couldn't really tell you how many I'd done. I'd run a marathon. I just like pushing myself. And I just had to check this Ironman thing out, and when I clicked that enter button on that website, I got a shot of adrenaline, and it's like, oh, here we go, and haven't looked back since, mate. It's been, haven't regretted that one bit.
That first one, was it harder than you thought it was going to be? Was it easier? What was your experience?
I kind of surprised myself, and I surprised friends that I had an excellent day. I kind of, at the time, I was training with some mates, and I gleaned a lot of information from them and a lot of ideas on pacing. I learned a lot, you know, without sort of, you know, being in their pocket. I learned a lot, and I had a good day on my first Ironman. I went I did go sub 10. I had a good day. I had a really good run, and it's, I don't know, I jagged it. I think I got lucky. I didn't really have a clue with the nutrition side of things. I just sort of, okay, you got to take a gel, sort of, you read the packet on the gel 15 minutes before and 45, every 45 thereafter, and drink some electrolyte and whatever. And it got me through, and I had a good race, and it's, surprised some people. Surprised myself.
And finishing that first one, I mean, everyone has that sort of, you always remember the first one. Has anything come as close to that? I'm guessing finishing on the Big Island must be pretty close, if not better than finishing your first one.
Brad, I've been to the Big Island twice. The first time I raced there in 2014, it was awful. It was really bad, and I crossed that finish line, and it should be a euphoric state, but it was probably the opposite. It was just a relief to get to the finish line, and all these thoughts going through your head like, I'm never doing this again. And it was a tough day, and Kona's a whole different beast. I wouldn't know where to start. It's got to spare a couple of days.
What went wrong in that first one?
I didn't respect the conditions, basically. I'd raced two Ironmen previous, both at Port Macquarie. When that race is on in Port Macquarie, it's in late autumn or fall, and it's quite cool. You're rugged up before the race. The swim's quite warm, but it is coming into winter, and the conditions are very forgiving. So the conditions are cool. The sun's low in the sky. You know, it's not a typical Aussie hot, you know, what you'd expect with a tough, hot Aussie race. The conditions are quite cool. Might have been late teens or early 20s maximum temperature. And you get through there, you think, yeah, right, I got a fair idea of what needs to be done. You get to the Big Island and it's just, all that just goes out the window completely. It's a whole new ball game.
And obviously your second visit was a bit better. You learned some lessons on that first one. You didn't hate it that much that you never went back.
No, you soon snap out of that. I never want to do this again. Yeah, probably everybody thought that when they've crossed the finish line or they're at the 30K mark of the marathon, think, why am I doing this? I never want to do this again. But you get over that finish line, you get your finisher's towel and your medal and you have a cool drink and you see your family. It's like, personally, you can't wait to sign up for your next race. So that was the case with that first time round in Kona, and ironically the first time we went there, I to be honest with you, Brad, I got there via a roll down, which was good enough. I was close enough and I was good enough to get the roll down spot, but we got to the Big Island and I was just pretty much in awe of the athletes there, and you see everyone there, they're lean, they're ripped, and I was probably a little bit hard on myself. I did get that roll down spot, and I kind of felt in the back of my mind that I probably wasn't good enough to be there. And I kind of, when I finished that race, I was kind of in tears because I had some tachycardia issues on the run, and I've had a history of that, and it's becoming more and more common amongst the endurance fraternity, and I had some issues there on the run which had me buckled over on all fours on the Queen K, just waiting for heart rate to come down, and it was really tough to do and to get to the finish line, and I was kind of in tears at the finish line. It was like, you know, this could be it. I might not be able to do this anymore. But I was able to I learned a lot. I changed up. You know, hydration plays a huge key in how your body reacts in a hot environment like that. And second time there, I had a completely different outlook and a whole lot more respect for that course. And I had a much better race. So, yeah, it was good.
Sounds incredible. As far as sort of, if I say the word Kona, what does it conjure up in your mind? What do you think of?
You almost get goosebumps, Brad, when you hear the Kona mentioned, and it sounds cliched, but your mind just shifts to the lava fields and the heat and the humidity. You know, the cliched punch in the face when you get off the plane at the airport, and the raw beauty of the place. It's you know, I don't know whether it would have that getting on the Big Island. I don't know whether it had that same effect if the race wasn't there, but yeah, you combine all the elements and the all the facets of the race and the vibe in town, and it makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Something special. Wes, as far as unfinished business, I know you're not, the plan's not to go to Kona this year. You rolled your slot down. You did qualify, but you didn't take it up. Do you feel like you've got unfinished business on the Big Island? Or if you never make it back again, you're pretty satisfied with what you've managed to achieve?
No, I am satisfied, Brad. I was lucky enough to race there last year. My goal was to go under 10 hours. That's all I wanted to do. I knew I'd gone under 10 hours before in my other races, and I executed my race plan almost too perfectly because I got to the finish line with 43 seconds to spare. and you have no idea how satisfying it was it's quite funny. Actually, looking at my finisher photos, I barely even stepped over the line. I'm looking up at the timer to see if I'd done it, and yeah, fist pump, I did. So it was very satisfying. If I never go back again, I'm happy.
43 seconds over the length of an Ironman, that's pretty tight.
Yeah, it's too tight. I think I still would have been pleased if I had made the 10 hours, because I was really happy with the way I raced, and it was a good day.
As far as gear goes, talk me through your setup. What do you use sort of across the board, swim, bike, and run? For the answer to that question and more premium Kona Edge content, head over to thekonaedge.com/support and stand in line to win an entry into a half Ironman event every single month, valued at $350. That's thekonaedge.com/support. As far as what's left to still achieve in the sport, what are some of the goals? What do you still hope to achieve before you call it quits with triathlon?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, call it quits. I don't know if I will. I'm still enjoying it. I'm still going to keep racing and
race till you're 80.
I don't know. Well, the big one's not going anywhere, mate. So who knows? I don't know. I don't think I've got the biomechanics to sort of. I don't think my run's ever going to get any quicker. Basically, because I'm getting a little bit older now. And being able to get out and run with the intensity and whatnot, I think those days are sort of, I've got to be a little smarter with the way I train. What's left to achieve? I just want to be able to go to a race and execute the perfect race, whatever that is. Who knows what that is? Has anyone ever done it? I don't know. But that's what will keep me coming back. I've been lucky enough to go to Hawaii twice. Some people go their whole careers without even getting close to going to Hawaii. So I consider myself very lucky. And as far as a lot of people would quit. You know, if they could get that Hawaii, that Kona slot once and then never do a triathlon again, there's probably people that would take that. But I think of myself as thankful that I've been there, been able to race there, good and bad. But I think ultimately if I can continue to train and enjoy it and have fun, and try and get the best out of myself on any race, whether it's a sprint or a club race or in Hawaii, there's the attraction right there. Mm. And I enjoy being fit. You know, who doesn't like being able to do this and pull the shirt off in the mirror and you know, look fitter than the bloke beside you.
the 20-year-old bloke beside you.
Winning, exactly. It's good.
As far as looking at qualifying, what do you reckon is the secret to qualifying for the Big Island?
The secret to qualifying is the old C word, consistency. Am I clear that up? Consistency. Yeah. If you have any intentions of visiting the Big Island, you have to be consistent. You have to be patient. You have to be committed. And you have to be organized. I think you can't balance. You have to be able to balance your professional life, work, and you have to be able to, you know, turn up every day to train consistently. And you have to be motivated. And if you have those qualities and you approach it that way, you're gonna give it a shake. So you've just got to. You got to be driven.
Mm. Absolutely.
Driven.
Well, Wes, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for another time. Thanks for your time today on the Kona Edge.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. I appreciate you having me on. It's been great. Thank you.
This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by the Wahoo Kicker. Whether you're looking for the accuracy and control of a direct drive bike trainer or the flexibility and convenience of a wheel-on solution, Kicker and Kicker Snap are two distinct indoor training solutions. Kicker Indoor Trainer's large flywheel uses new algorithms to improve responsiveness and better replicate the sensation of riding on the road. So whether free riding or using online platforms like Zwift and TrainerRoad, you'll have the same experience you feel on your favorite outdoor rides. To check out their phenomenal range, head over to thekonaedge.com/indoor. That's thekonaedge.com/indoor. And that's it for the Kona Edge today. Thank you so much to Wes for sharing his story. Wes, you're a legend, mate. Thank you so, so much. Before I go, though, don't forget Up for Grabs once again is another full Ironman entry this year. All you need to do is leave us a rating or review on iTunes. They really help us get in front of more people. And go on in from Brad Rowlands in the United States saying, great podcast. I really enjoy hearing the stories of how top age groupers in the world make it to Kona. Very inspiring. Brad, thank you. Love your work is what he titled it as. Well, thank you. Much appreciated. Really do appreciate you taking the time to leave us a review. And don't forget, if you do that, to also leave us your Twitter handle or your Instagram handle so we can send a shout out on social media. Mine's at the Kona Edge across pretty much all the platforms. So look us up and we'd love to touch base there. Until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.